Hi, this is Alana from Sawkill. I'm the host of There There on WGXC Acra, Hudson, and Catskill. Radio for open ears.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And this morning you're going to hear from Trista Haltling about the Columbia County Climate Carnival this weekend. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the WGXC local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves. Controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
You can find all about the Hudson-based circus, the Bindlesif Family Circus, on the WGXC community calendar. They're hosting the Bindlesif Circus's Summer of Joy 2022 in Hudson with five different programs for youth ages 6 through young adults, including circus art intensives for youth and participation in the Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival Parade. Also work on costume design and fabrication. They host the Hudson Juggling Club at Waterfront Wednesdays in Hudson, and a restorative justice facilitation training with the Hudson Youth Center and the Restorative Center of Newburgh. These programs run from June 29th to August 24th. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Joshua Solomon reports for the Times Union that U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, the Republican nominee for governor, will unlikely run on the Independence Party line after the State Board of Elections invalidated nearly 13,000 signatures on his petitions. Zeldin is set to face Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul in the general election on November 8th. His name will appear on the Republican and conservative lines, while Hochul's name will be on the Democratic and Working Families Party lines. Zeldin's campaign submitted about 52,000 signatures, more than the 45,000 needed to get his name on the third-party line. However, the disqualified signatures left him well short after the board's ruling. The filing period ended on May 31st. Selden's petitions were challenged by the New York Libertarian Party, who not only contested the signatures were invalid, but also noted that 11,000 of the signatures were photocopied duplicates. Quote, Republicans talk a lot about election integrity, but the Selden campaign attempted to fly under the radar and submit over 11,000 fraudulent signatures in an attempt to get the third line on the ballot, unquote, Andrew Kulstey, secretary of the Libertarian Party, said in a July 14th news release. The Board of Elections does not make determinations on fraud related to petition signatures, so the matter is now pending in court. The board ruled that 12,868 signatures were invalid, leaving Selden with 39,228. If a judge overrules the board's decision, Selden's name could still potentially appear on the Independence Party line. On Selden's campaign website, it calls for people to join, quote, Team Selden's Election Integrity Task Force, unquote. The website says, quote, our team will be working around the clock now and into November to ensure that we have fair elections, but we can't do it alone, unquote. Selden voted against certifying the results of the 2022 presidential election. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Ted Remschneider reports for Columbia Green Media that on July 10th, at least two hand-drawn signs with a hateful message appeared on residences in Ghent in Columbia County. A handmade, and I quote, baby killers live here, end quote, sign was placed on Christopher Burke's lawn. Burke said that neither him or his wife worked in any occupation related to abortion services, and they are baffled why anyone would place that sign on his property. He said, and I quote, I've given the occasional few dollars to Planned Parenthood and places like that because I believe in that freedom, but my job is nothing related to that at all, end quote. Michael Richardson of Hate Watch Report, a Chatham anti-hate organization, said there is clear intent of hate in the signs. Richardson said, and I quote, this crosses the line. We all understand and respect and protect free speech. When you do something like this on somebody's private property, that crosses a line and becomes hate speech, end quote. While much about the signs is a mystery, the timing of the appearances seems related to the recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling allowing states to ban abortion. Burke said, and I quote, it's empowered people who are fringe actors to become emboldened. It fits into that, so it's not terribly shocking. I have to say, we're not losing sleep over it, but it is very disturbing, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Michael DeMasi reports for the Albany Business Review that the former Thompson House Resort in Wyndham has reopened under new ownership and with a new name. The resort, now called Wilder Wyndham, is the third property acquired by the Wilder Hotels of Los Angeles and its first in New York. The resort on Route 296 held a soft opening July 13th. John Flanagan, CEO and founder of Wilder Hotels, said the company was able to avoid the sharp decline in occupancy rates other hotels saw over the past two-plus years because its properties are focused on outdoor experiences with plenty of land, separate lodges, and buildings. Spread across 20 acres, Wilder Wyndham includes seven lodges, inns, manors, and cottages with a total of 110 rooms, an oversized in-ground heated pool and recreation room, Babbler's, a restaurant and bakery, and 4,000 square foot of indoor and outdoor event space. Two of the lodges have opened so far, as well as the pool, bakery, and most of the outdoor activities. The restaurant will open soon. Quote, we're going to be opening rooms constantly over the next 2 months, unquote, Flanagan said, quote, and should be fully completed by the end of September with all 110 rooms, unquote. Wilder Hotels bought the property in June 2021 for $2.27 million. According to the Greene County Industrial Development Agency, the total project investment is $20.1 million. Flanagan said about 30 people have already been hired. Total staffing will exceed 50 once the resort is fully open. Read more about this story in the Albany Business Review.
Joshua Solomon is reporting in the Times Union that activists and lawmakers rallied in Albany on June 10th, urging state legislators to adopt protections for tenants after the state Supreme Court struck down the city of Albany's good cause eviction law. Landlords and the real estate industry are strongly opposed to the good cause laws that prevents a landlord from evicting a tenant who is paying their rent on time. The cities of Beacon, Kingston, Newburgh, and Poughkeepsie passed similar laws, as did Hudson, though that was vetoed by Mayor Kamal Johnson. The city of Albany filed notice of appeal to the court's decision on July 11th. A few days later, city officials were asking state legislators to take up their cause. Albany Council President Corey Ellis said at the rally, and I quote, "We did the right thing, and now we're calling on our state legislators to do the right thing," end quote. But the legislation could pass in Albany and still not become law, as Governor Kathy Hochul, who has received significant financial contributions from the real estate industry, has shown no support for passing a statewide version of Albany's law. And you can read the full story in the Times Union.
The Daily Freeman is reporting that the city of Kingston has issued a drought alert in connection with the lowered water levels at the Cooper Lake Reservoir, according to our press release from Mayor Steve Noble's office. The alert is the first stage of the Water Department's response plan for dealing with the problem. During a drought alert, all city water customers are asked to voluntarily conserve water whenever possible. Quote, "We all use water differently, so please take a minute to think about how you can conserve," unquote, Water Department Superintendent Matthew Desard said in a statement. He said suggestions include taking shorter showers, running dishwashers and washing machines only when full, repairing leaky faucets and toilets, and turning off the faucet while shaving, soaping hands, and brushing teeth. Conserving is voluntary at this stage, but if the reservoir continues to drop, mandatory restrictions could be imposed, Dysart said. Noble pointed out that while water levels are low despite the July 13th downpour, quote, "We ask all of our residents to be conscientious during this time and conserve as much water as possible," unquote, he said. Town of Williamston, Massachusetts, this week issued a non-essential outdoor watering restriction. The watering of lawns, public parks, and recreational fields, gardens, flowers, and ornamental plants has been banned until further notice. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that the office of New York's Attorney General Letitia James filed a preliminary injunction July 14th against a half dozen firearm distributors to stop the distribution and sale of gun parts in the state. The parts are used in so-called ghost guns that are difficult for law enforcement to trace. James said, and I quote, "Every single day people across the country are losing their lives to gun violence. We cannot and will not allow our children and our communities to continue to live in fear that their school, parade, or grocery store will be next. Today we're taking serious action to immediately stop these companies from illegally selling and bringing these dangerous ghost gun parts into New York. We will continue to fight to protect New Yorkers and bring justice to communities devastated by gun violence," end quote. The companies getting notice are from across the country. Brownells Incorporated, Rockslide USA LLC, Arm or Ally LLC, Rainier Arms LLC, Salvo Technologies Incorporated, and Indie Guns LLC. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, sunny with a high near 83 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 59 degrees. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 87 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 62. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Green,
and Columbia counties.
Friday, July 15th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m., the Nuestro Musica show celebrates Independence Month with Independence Days across South and North America in July. At noon, after the local news, Andy French has his Crawl Out from the Fallout show with all kinds of new music. At 4 p.m., we're live from Acre with the WGXC Afternoon Show. At 6 p.m., we're live from Catskill on Main Street, where the Catskill Clubhouse is and Clubhouse Radio originates from. 7 p.m., we hear from teens in Hudson about what they've been reading with the Bound by Books show. And at 8 p.m., we go live to the Avalon Lounge for three brass bands performing. What, Brasskill and Fat Boys Brass Band all perform at the Avalon Lounge on Friday night. From 8 to 10, the show will be on the radio, and the entire show will be at WGXC.org. Tune in or turn out Friday night.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Field recordings, found sound, soundscapes, ambience.
Bells, bugs,
whispers, and plinks.
Hosted by
Stephen Bradley
and Edward Rahelski.
Every fifth Tuesday of the month from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Bells, bugs, whispers, and plinks.
On WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, July 15th. It looks like 52 degrees in Preston Hollow and 65 over in Germantown. Soil temperature is 67 degrees. We have calm winds early this morning, which allow for some foggy waterways and possibly a patch or two in other isolated areas. A nice warm day is in store after that. A high of 84 happens at 3 p.m. and dew points will be in the mid-50s, keeping it from feeling sticky. Overnight, we get some more nice sleeping weather and a low of 58. Saturday is looking hot with a chance for storms in the afternoon and a high of 88 expected at 3 p.m. 64 degrees overnight takes us into a wet Sunday with a stormy afternoon and a high of 89. Monday, the rain keeps on going, but things cool off a little with a high of only 81. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Same for Saturday, Sunday, it will be low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:39 a.m., low tide at 11:35 a.m., high tide again at 5:19 p.m. and low tide once again at 11:44 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees. And that data is for Friday, July 15th. If you're listening on the weekend rebroadcast, be aware that Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. The sandbar under the bridge will be exposed. It's going to be exposed longer than last week, and it will be deeper than last week, as the water will be rushing to a lower point. And because of that, the current conditions will be strong. 10:45 p.m. to 2:10 a.m. on Sunday, it will reappear, and it will be even deeper because the water will be even stronger. And then it reappears midday, 10:50 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday, and the current will likewise be strong. Sunset today will be at 8:16 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:29 a.m. Looking way up, we see Comet C2017K2 will be making its closest approach tonight, so break out those telescopes. Solar wind speed is currently 576.4 kilometers per second at 11.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 133. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Who would just like to remind you that even though most of the stations keeping it hush-hush, we are currently in a fund drive and asking for your assistance. Times are tough, but we know you are even tougher. So if you're able to help out, just head on over to WGXE.org, click on donate, and become one of our personal heroes. Thank you.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Moore of Copake, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXE listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and The Better Weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to wgxe.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
KZMB, all zombie radio.
Good evening. Tonight's top story. Everything is awful. We'll start now with the pandemic. What's the latest on that?
It's awful.
To finance now, how's the cost of living?
It's awful, Mark.
And to our US correspondent, how are things there?
It's really awful, Mark.
Now, are you referring to the existing levels of awfulness or the new awfulness that's arisen in recent days?
It's all awful, Mark.
Closer to home now, we've got more awful flooding in New South Wales. What would you say the mood is there on the ground?
In a word?
If you could.
Awful.
Well, we're going to try shifting gears now to something a little lighter, thank goodness. We're joined now by our nature reporter, some say the queen bee of journalism. Tell me what's buzzing in the bee world.
There's actually an awful new parasite affecting bee populations.
Oh, come on, can't we go to someone else, please? All right, we're joined now by our reporter up in northern New South Wales, lovely part of the world.
Cases of diphtheria over here, Mark.
Jesus, didn't we eradicate diphtheria?
It's back. First time this century.
What else have we got? Ukraine, global food crisis. Oh, my God. Surely entertainment news will lighten the mood. So to our showbiz reporter now, I see there's some good news for the kiddies with the release of the new Minions film.
Teenagers are attending the film en masse dressed in suits for some reason.
I don't know what that is, but that can't be good.
It's quite unsettling.
Oh, hang on, sounds like we might finally have something to celebrate. I'm hearing that Australia has hit a new milestone. Huh? That's a COVID milestone, forget it. Well, to close us out tonight, we're going to monkey around and discuss a bit of important monkey business. We've got our own cheeky monkey on the scene. What have you got for us?
The monkeys have pox, they've spread it to humans, and now there's 39 countries with monkeypox.
Good night.
Secondly, I agree to be a watchman over our nation. concerning its people and their rights for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Whereas we, the Church, are God's governing body on the earth. Whereas we have been given legal power from heaven and now exercise our authority. Whereas we are God's ambassadors and spokespeople over the earth. Whereas through the power of God, we are the world influencers. Whereas because of our covenant with God, we are equipped and delegated by Him to destroy every attempted advance of the enemy. We make our declarations. We decree that America's executive branch of government will honor God and defend the Constitution. We decree that our legislative branch, Congress, will write only laws that are righteous and constitutional. We decree that our judicial system will issue rulings that are biblical and constitutional. We declare that we stand against wokeness, the occult, and every evil attempt against our nation. We declare and we now take back our God-given freedoms according to our Constitution. We declare that we take back influence at the local level in our communities. We decree that we take back and permanently control positions of influence and leadership in each of the seven mountains. We decree that the blood of Jesus covers and protects our nation. It protects and separates us from God. We declare that our nation is energy dependent. We declare that America is strong spiritually, financially, militarily, and technologically. We decree that evil carries no power, authority, or rights in our land nor over our people. We decree that we will operate in unity, going beyond denominational lines in order to accomplish the purposes of God for our nation. And we decree that America shall be saved! We know this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. We know the truth. Therefore, we stand for truth and will never be deceived. We will never stop fighting. We will never, ever, ever give up or give in. We will take our country back. We will honor the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. America shall be saved.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Conversation today is not just about the right to travel and the right to health care. It's deeper than that. It's the right to live.
Republican Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma Thursday blocked an effort to pass a measure guaranteeing the right to travel between states for abortions. Senate Democrats were seeking unanimous agreement on the proposal, so even if Lankford hadn't objected, it's likely one of his GOP colleagues would have. Democrats will now need to go through the standard recorded vote process if they want to pass the bill. The measure comes as states across the country have enacted abortion bans in recent weeks, compelling those seeking abortions to cross state lines for reproductive care. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says her chamber, which is firmly controlled by Democrats, will likely pass the bill soon.
Women's health decisions are her own. They don't belong to politicians in Washington, D.C., or in state capitals, or in the Supreme Court of the United States.
Also yesterday, the state of Texas sued the Biden administration for new guidance informing doctors they are obligated under federal law to provide abortions to save the life of a mother, regardless of state laws. The Hill reports the state is asking a court to block the guidance while the case is litigated. Meanwhile, the House Judiciary Committee held a public hearing on how the end of Roe v. Wade could impact longstanding precedents. Melissa Murray, a New York University law professor, warned lawmakers the court could use the same logic it applied in the case to overturn other precedents.
The logic that the opinion applies could easily be translated to a range of other rights that the court has recognized, including the right to contraception, the right to same-sex marriage, and the right to sexual intimacy.
President Joe Biden was in Israel yesterday in an effort to shore up support from the U.S.'s strongest ally in the Middle East. In a joint press briefing with Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid, Biden reiterated his administration's support of a peace agreement between Palestine and Israel.
Israel must remain an independent, democratic Jewish state, the ultimate guarantee and guarantor of security of the Jewish people, not only in Israel, but the entire world.
CNN reports the Biden administration also wants to use the trip as a chance to break the diplomatic ice between Israel and Saudi Arabia, which have long been at odds with each other. The House has approved a measure to monitor for signs of white supremacy in the nation's military and police forces. All Democrats voted in favor of the provision, while all Republicans were opposed. The provision was an amendment to the $840 billion National Defense Authorization Act, which funds the country's defense operations. The Washington Post reports lawmakers proposed more than 1,200 amendments to the bill this year, including everything from a new reporting system for unidentified flying objects, or UFOs, to a Department of Defense research program on the therapeutic application of psychedelics. Once the House approves the full spending package, it will go to the Senate for further deliberation. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The election subversion attempts by rogue state legislatures and the recent announcement of a North Carolina case in the U.S. Supreme Court, which could potentially give ultimate control over elections to legislatures, have shaken our democratic foundation. The good news is there are groups preparing for these and other issues eroding our American democracy. Just announced this week is the UCLA Safeguarding Democracy Project, an all-star coalition of democracy academics, lawyers, and technical experts who are evaluating the strengths and weaknesses in our democratic system. In an interview this week on CBS announcing the group, board member and NAACP Legal Defense Fund director Janae Nelson explains that the group is a collaboration of democracy experts from across the political spectrum who will research ways to prevent voter suppression, control election disinformation, prevent election sabotage, and develop tactics for use in the courts. The project's website notes that this research will be shared with legislators, advocates, and the public through conferences and education. Advocacy groups are also gearing up. Common Cause continues to monitor misinformation and disinformation. Nelson's Legal Defense Fund, ACLU, the League of Women Voters, and others are preparing for legal action to protect the election. And voting rights coalitions like the Declaration for American Democracy are preparing state groups to protect their voters. We have links to these groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Interesting, boring, really boring.
It would be about wonderful things. It would be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Awesome.
All the way down.
But only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
Joe McPhee is a renowned saxophonist who resides in Poughkeepsie, and his Nation Time album, originally released in 1970 and reissued in the year 2000, is a jazz classic. Now in 2022, the band More Mother, on their album Jazz Codes, has a song called Joe McPhee Nation Time Intro.
Apples, peaches, pumpkin pie. All y'all ready? Holler, scream, shout. It's nation time. It's nation time. It's nation time for real listen.
Yo! Cops in patrol cars, cops on the beat. We'll be standing on the corners. We'll be marching in the streets. Helicopters overhead, another brother shot dead. What time is it? It's nation time. Racist fascists in our White House. Neo-Nazis in the streets. We got miles to go and promises to keep. Culture vultures in our beds. Another bullet in our heads. What time is it? It's nation time.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes, when the final recording sessions of the Robert Hohner Percussion Ensemble finally see the light of day. Plus the explosive orchestra sounds of the Dorf Sound Collective and Kamasi Washington. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hello, everyone. We're here with Tistria Houtling, an organizer of the upcoming Columbia County Climate Carnival that will be happening July 16th in Chatham. Tistria, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, yeah. Please tell me a little bit about what we can expect to see at this weekend's Climate Carnival.
Yeah, so there's going to be a countywide free store where you can come and get clothes and footwear and children's items totally free of charge. We've been collecting at six different locations throughout the county for the past month and a half. And you can come and keep stuff out of the landfill, reduce, reuse, recycle. We're going to have a repair cafe, so bring your broken lamps and furniture and things that might need sewing or stitching, repairs of any kind. They do prefer you sign up ahead of time if possible through the website, climatecarnival.org. Or you can just bring your stuff to be fixed. We have bike recycling programs where you can bring a bike that needs a tune-up or a pedal replaced or other small repairs, and they'll repair them right on site. You can also get a new bike, which won't happen at the carnival, but you can sign up for a new-to-you bike, again, keeping things out of the landfill. Or if you have bikes to donate, you can sign up at the event to do that as well, but don't bring your bike donations to the event. We have a Birds of Prey exhibit from the Southern Vermont Museum with owls and hawks and other cool birds. We're going to learn all about composting, renewable energy. We have a lot of children's programming and hands-on things for the kids to do. We have live music from three wonderful bands, one of which is mine. I have to make a quick plug. My 12-year-old son drums, my 9-year-old and 6-year-old daughters sing. I play ukulele and my mom as well. So a 3-generation family band. We're playing from 10:15 to 11. And then we have two other bands, the Wicked Messengers and Philichandra. Should be a lot of fun. And we also have food trucks to come in and eat some food. So it's going to be a day of fun. We are calling it a climate carnival because climate change, you know, although it's not a fun topic, it can be engaging. And we really want people to come that might not normally go to environmental fairs, that might want to just come and get some free clothes. And while they're there, they might learn a little bit about composting.
That is wonderful, and that's such a great way to spin the issue that can be so overwhelming and big and hard to grasp for a lot of people. So it's amazing. Could you just tell me a little bit about, give me a little insight into the organization of the carnival and what have been some of the challenges in putting it together?
Yeah, so the idea came from Jolene Race. She's the head of our solid waste department in Columbia County, and she approached me and said, I know you do the free store and you've been talking about wanting to do a countywide free store. Why don't we just do this event that the county puts on? So her and I became co-coordinators. She's done a tremendous job, and we've been working together with a really great crew of people. It's being put on by the Columbia County Climate Smart Task Force. So some of our task force members have joined us. Don Meltz, who works for the county, has also done a tremendous job doing a lot of the back end website and promotion. We've had some professionals who do promotion and marketing. Deb and Lucy join us to help get the word out. And we've had, it started out with monthly meetings about 6 months ago. Now it's weekly meetings. Some of the challenges have been when you have a county event, there's a lot of restrictions. It's a bureaucratic organization. And so there's some extra hoops with insurance requirements and volunteer waivers and those sorts of things that we've certainly gotten through all of it. But it can be a little bit more difficult when you're doing it as a government entity.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Well, amazing, amazing job. And can you give us a little bit, could you just tell us a little bit about what action you hope to inspire from individuals or businesses or just people in general?
Yeah, so I think it's twofold. I think you're going to get your environmental enthusiasts who are going to come and maybe sign up for heat pumps in their house or solar or things that they've been thinking about, check out a new EV vehicle. But like I mentioned before, one of my big hopes is that we get people who we're not just preaching to the choir to. We get people who, like I said, are coming because they need a free bike for their kid, or they need some free clothes or want some free clothes. And they're going to come and listen to some music and eat some food. And while they're there, they might check out about recycling or composting or even something like heat pumps, which I took a workshop on the other day thinking there was no way that my working class family who lives paycheck to paycheck could possibly afford to put heat pumps in our house, and learned that essentially for the same cost we budget currently for our heating oil and our electric bill, we could actually finance heat pumps and really not change our monthly budget at all. And so I'm really hoping that it's going to inspire people who maybe aren't currently part of the choir to realize that it's doable and it's not that hard and it's not out of their reach.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that would be a great way to bring people together. And then, all right, could you just tell me a little bit more about the Climate Smart Communities Task Force for anyone in the area who isn't familiar?
Yeah, so the Columbia County took a pledge to become a climate smart community. The town of New Lebanon, where I'm the supervisor of, also is a climate smart community, and we reached our bronze certification recently. The county is close to getting our bronze certification. And what it is, it's a program through New York State that encourages municipalities, everything from a town to a village to a city to a county, to take a pledge to be more climate focused. There's no necessary actions that come with it, other than forming the task force. And then there's a lot of different actions that you get different amounts of points for. So everything from benchmarking your energy usage, which is a pretty easy way of just tracking how much energy your municipal buildings and properties are utilizing, to a heat pump campaign, community solar, which is something that the county has done where we try to get people signed up for community solar. It doesn't involve anything other than signing up. You still get your bill through NYSEG or Central Hudson or whoever your bill comes from, but you save up to 10% on your electricity bill, and then the county gets points and credits for every person that signs up. And then there's the, I'm not going to say easier things, but things like the bike recycling and the free store. My focus is really on those things, the reduce, reuse, recycle, providing things that the community needs. Why buy it new when you can get it for free? And the free store here in New Lebanon started when I was the town clerk, because I was constantly posting on Facebook, hey, my kids outgrew their size 6 girls' clothes, who needs them? And then other community members would be like, well, I have size 10 boys' clothes. So the back of my car was just constantly filled with bags of clothes that I was delivering across the area. And we had an empty room here at the town hall. So I was town clerk at the time. I went to the town board. I said, can I run a free store upstairs? And basically everyone donates their used clothing and footwear and children's items. We don't have room for housewares and furniture, although it could become that if you had a bigger space. And then volunteers come and sort the donations, and everyone comes and takes whatever they need for free.
That is fantastic. That's such a great initiative. Well, thank you for bringing that to the community. All right, and then last question. If people haven't heard about the Climate Carnival, how can they find more information and how can they get involved? Just tell us a little bit about how they can participate.
Absolutely. So anyone can attend. You just show up at the Chatham Fairgrounds between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Saturday, July 16th. You can check out more about what's going to be there at climatecarnival.org. And if you want to volunteer, we do still need volunteers. The day before the event on Friday, we're going to be there from 9 to 5, setting up the free store. So if you want to dig through some of the donated items and help hang them up and sort them and organize them. And one of the keys of being a volunteer is you get the first dibs at the clothes. So, you know, there's a benefit too to signing up to volunteering to set up the free store. So you would need to sign up through that website, climatecarnival.org. There's a link on the left that says volunteer. We have 2 shifts. One is 9 to 1, one is 1 to 5. We will feed you, and you can come and help us get the free store all set up. And then the day of the event on Saturday, we need help with parking. We're still looking for 2 parking volunteers per shift. It's 2-hour shifts. And then Sunday, the day after, we need help breaking down the free store. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there are ways to help out if you feel so inspired. And we would love to have you on the team.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time, Tristia, and we can't wait for the carnival.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Next, we hear local music from Poughkeepsie's Joe McPhee. He took his saxophone into his closet during the pandemic quarantine and produced a 2021 album called Route 84 Quarantine Blues. This is the title track.
Thank you.